I just want to make sure you have all the mics on. Awesome. Thank you so much.
For NPR Music, I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garz. This is a very special edition of Alt Latino, recorded in the studios of KUTX in Austin, Texas.
We're in town for the 7th annual Pachanga Latin Music Festival, and today we're hanging out with some of our favorite musical people. Joining us is Michael Crockett, who's the host of Horizontes here in Austin. It's a world music show that he's been doing for about 25 years. Michael, thank you for hosting us here in your lovely studios.
And we're also in the studio with one of the coolest bands, Venezuela's La Vida Bohème. We're going to be hanging out, talking, and they're going to be playing some live music for us.
Es nuestra fiesta, candado y crestas, nuestra fiesta,
nuestra.
Este es nuestro bar, Radio Capital. Este es nuestro bar,
Radio Capital.
Nuestra fiesta, candado y crestas, nuestra fiesta,
nuestra.
Nuestra fiesta, candado y crestas, nuestra fiesta,
nuestra.
hombre sincero. ¿Dónde crece la palma? Soy un hombre sincero. ¿Dónde crece la palma? Soy un hombre sincero. ¿Dónde crece la palma? Pero ¿dónde crece la palma? Soy un hombre sincero. ¿Dónde crece la palma? ¿Dónde crece? ¿Dónde crece? ¿Dónde crece la palma? Soy un hombre sincero. ¿Dónde crece la palma? Ah, ah, ja, 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 ja.
Gracias. Shishini. Domo.
Music from the group La Vida Boheme here in City 1A on KUTX 98.9. My name is Michael Crockett. I want to welcome the studio audience we have today. And thank you for coming. And I want to welcome all of you out there. And in particular, I want to welcome the folks from Alt Latino who are visiting Austin. And a big warm welcome to Felix Contreras and Jasmine Garst.
Thank you.
Nice to have you guys. What are you guys up to here? You're gonna stay for the whole festival? And
we're here for Pachanga Fest this weekend, absolutely.
Excellent.
And this is a great way to kick it off. Nice subdued performance by these guys.
Yeah, I thought that was a rather quiet tune until I took off my headphones.
Yeah, they should really try to get into the music a little bit more.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn things over to you guys and let you talk with these guys a bit.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for being here, and then we want to thank you guys for having us here as well. Before we have you play another song, why don't we have you guys introduce yourselves and so we know who's talking. Here in the studio, we can see, we know who's talking, but out in listener land, we don't know. So why don't we have you guys identify yourself and what instrument you play?
Well, listener land, my name is Henry. We are La Vida Boheme, and I am the guitar player, and I try to sing, I think.
I'm Rafael. I play the bass.
I am Daniel, and I play the guitar.
And Sebastian, drums.
But for the people who aren't familiar with your music, why don't you tell us a little bit about that first song? Where it came from, what did you say in the lyrics, etc.?
First of all, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure for us being in Austin. This is our fourth time in Austin, and this city has been amazing with us. The song we just played is called Radio Capital. Radio Capital was one of the first stations in Caracas, which is the city we're from, that actually started playing rock and roll music. So it was kind of our way to pay homage to those things that actually, you know, paved our way, you know. The Ramones, LCD Sound System, The Clash, Capital Radio, you know.
Yeah, Freaks.
All the things that, yeah.
The movie Freaks.
Gabba Gabba, hey, you're one of us.
Gabba Gabba, we accept you, Gabba Gabba.
This is from your album Nuestra, which is the album I got to know you guys from, and it's like this really cool mix of like industrial punk and dance. But then your latest album, I thought it was really cool that you incorporated like a lot of Latin sounds too. It reminded me of like kind of like a Café Tacuba when they did this mix that was like, oh, yeah, that's Latin rock.
Yeah, well, I think when we start playing music, at first you always emulate what you admire, right?
Sure.
That's the first thing. But while playing Nuestra, because I think that Nuestra was something that we didn't expect, because we made it while we were 19 years old. You know, we had a record deal and we had to tour it. And this whole pressure, you know, of being a professional band was upon us. And we started meditating what we did, you know, Like, is this really our sound? This is truly us. And Será, which is the second album, was pretty much about that, about finding ourselves. And finding ourselves was, ironically, had to do a lot with finding from where we are from, you know?
Yeah,
like our connecting origins. With our land.
Yeah, the connection with the land, with the folklore, with everything.
Yeah, that you means can really Minnesota, hear that yeah. in the album, yeah.
In what way, how did you guys incorporate some of the folklore? I mean, what did you guys... Well, how do you mix that with a song that almost sounds like The Clash a little bit?
Well, at first, what I really dig about rock and roll music, and especially North American rock and roll music, is how folklore was in its roots, in its blood, since the beginning.
Right.
And I think, like, for example, us, that we're from Venezuela, Venezuelan rock used to, like, look abroad a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get this phenomenon where a lot of bands, you know, sound... like The Cure, but in Spanish.
Yeah, it's like yeah. super, like a cover band.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like a cover band and there was in Spanish.
This, yeah. yeah, and there was this genuine preoccupation of trying to find our sound, not only as a band, but as Venezuelans. We were wondering a lot in Será, how does Venezuelan rock sound?
Yeah.
So we started like looking records up. We started to dig folklore songs up. We had the real fortune to meet a lot of folklorists or people who knew a lot about Venezuelan folkloric music, and we started gathering information. And in Será, I know nowadays I can say it's a pretty naive attempt, you know. But I think we love it like that. I think we love that it's naive, because if it were more complex, if it were more, you know, if we try to be something else other than kids trying to play folklore, which is what Será is, I think it wouldn't have come across.
Let's hear another song.
Yeah.
Well, this one is from a set, actually.
Good.
Second. Yes. It's called Horno Secal.
Despiertos aunque caiga el sol, encerrados en nuestro edén de hormigón, y el diablo en la puerta espera que rompamos ayuno y salgamos por cenar. Se abren poros en el ventanal con las balas que deja el azar. Bañaremos los niños en café, guardaremos refugio tras techos de papel.
You're listening to the music of La Vida Bohème from Caracas, Venezuela, here on Horizontes on KUTX 98.9. Michael Crockett with you, along with Jasmine Garst and Felix Contreras from Alt Latino. And we're just chatting and listening to this lovely band from Venezuela.
So you guys musically are great, but I think a big part of your songs is your lyrics. They're just so good. And I wanted to ask you that. I live in Mexico. You guys also live in Mexico now.
Yeah, we've been touring Mexico for the last month.
So a lot of times when I talk to Mexican musicians, they're really tired of journalists asking them about violence in Mexico. They're like, because they almost have this feeling of people just gawking, like macabre. And I wanted to ask you guys are a band from Venezuela. Are you guys really fed up of people asking for your opinion about Venezuela?
No, I think we're not fed up at all. It's first of all, because coming from a country where I think the last 20 years, we've been kind of isolated from everyone. Mm-hmm. So at least us four, every time we have, you know, a chance to speak to anyone,
abroad, loudly.
Yeah, about what is happening with us and how do we feel about it. I think it even helps us understand our situation. And I don't think even though we're very proud Venezuelans, we feel part of a global community. We feel part of the world. And I think it's very important nowadays to look after each other, because I think it was, what was her name? Persepolis, Marjane Satrapi. You know, she's a writer. She made like this comic book called Persepolis, which is pretty amazing. And she has a quote that says, the difference between your government and you is the same as as large as the government and me. We have more in common, even though we're from different nationalities, that we sometimes have with our current governments and our current policies. And I think it's very important for us, like, to understand that despite nationalities,
we have the same dramas.
We have the same dramas, and we have the same distances, and we have, in some ways, we live the same collateral damages of our current politics. So it's important, like, to meet each other and to talk about it, because we might actually learn something and we might actually solve some of the problems by it.
Do you find you guys have just really just catapulted, like skyrocketed to fame, and you were super, super young. You know, you yourself said it. I mean, and do you find that it weighs more heavily, or that you're more careful or thoughtful about what you say? Because first of all, the country's gotten super polarized, and
yes. All
of Latin America has gotten super polarized in the last 10 or 15 years. But also, you guys are in a much more visible position.
Well, it's more difficult because
you have to be careful with what you say and how do you say it.
But,
right?
But we were always careful. Yeah. I think like since we started, we were very careful. I don't think like the world is careful. I think
we have the responsibilities.
Yeah,
but we have been sincere in our opinions.
Right.
Like we don't choose sizes. Like every time we're critics to each size. So
yeah. Plus I think it's different being being careful than being meticulous.
Yeah.
And I think like since the start we have been very meticulous about our message, because like you were saying before, for us the lyrical aspect and the message aspect of our music is like a script. You know, the music is something beautiful, but the music, it's dictated by something else. It's dictated, sometimes it's lyrics, sometimes it's message, sometimes it's just a feeling, but it's dictated by something that we want to come across. Because we do believe that music is a powerful weapon, and art itself is a powerful communication tool. I know that, you know, lately art has, you know, chosen to separate itself, you know, from the audience. Art, you know, now has become a reality itself. But I think art truly nowadays has a humanizing potential. And the more you communicate, the more people, you know, empathize with things.
And let's hear another song, right?
Yes, thank you. this song is from our latest album. It's called La Piel del Mal.
se entregan a callar. Gritar solo nos hizo vulnerables. Los faros fueron cómplices al titilar. Cuando no hay sombra ni esquina en la que puedas confiar, te remangas las heridas y aprendes a escarbar la piel del mar.
You've been listening to music from La Vida Boheme here in Studio 1A at KUTX 98.9. I want to thank Cliff Hargrove, as always, for doing the engineering on these wonderful live sets. My name is Michael Crockett. I want to thank Jasmine Garst and Felix Contreras from Alt Latino sitting in with me today.
Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure.
I want to geek out a little bit on a music question. It's like the lyrics are so intertwined with the rhythm. I'm a drummer, so I listen to the rhythm first, but the rhythm of the lyrics is so intertwined to a musical arrangement. Which comes first? Do you guys put the music first, or do you have the lyrics first? How does that work out?
Depends. I think, like, most of the time, well, I have found it funny that lyrics are actually rhythmical.
Yeah, and another instrument.
Because their language is phonetical.
Sure.
So sometimes it happens a lot that we are either on a rehearsal space or I'm by myself in the house or on the street, and I start thinking words, and it just have sense. And then when we come to all together, it just... I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes languages speaks in rhythm also.
Sure. You don't have to explain it. That's enough. Okay. Nice try. But that's okay. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, he comes to the rehearsal and it makes more sense. That's it.
Then let's hear another song, guys.
We've actually made this arrangement for our live performances. It's called Flamingo, and we hope you enjoy it.
Yo estaré ahí con balsas y un millón de velas, porque cargas un morral de miedo y la montaña no sosiega. Y aunque a veces te moleste, yo aún te haré la cena. Otra vez, la espera te entierra en una condena. Con palas construiré castillos de arena. Y el que pasa te molesta y te pulsa el techo como una avalancha. Y aunque a veces te moleste, nunca te abandono. Calma, tú eres mi 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 calma. Whoa, whoa.
This song is inspired by a poem by Andrés Eloy Blanco, and it's called Angelitos Negros.
En mi pueblo y pintando un ángel negro me encontré, te encontré, me encontré. Oh, 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 oh. Mientras duerme en la vega están despiertos.
Y mi cara no ha llevado ni un solo golpe. Y mi cara no ha llevado ni un solo golpe. Y mi cara no ha llevado ni un solo golpe. Y mi cara no ha llevado ni un solo golpe.
That's one of my favorite of your songs, actually. and I wanted, I think that's a song that's a really good example of your musical style, but also your lyrical style and your storytelling. And for audiences that don't speak Spanish, you know, it has like this really great lyric. I was just listening to one of the parts that said, "What right do I have to paint a black angel when I rejected him when he came to see me?" And I know because you've told me, Henry, that this song, there's like a whole meaning behind this song. I was wondering if you could share it with us.
Well, I lived part of my life in Spain, 6 years of it. And I left Venezuela when I was 16, and I returned, it was like 6 years, actually, it was like five. I returned with 22 years to Venezuela. And while in Spain, I met, I spent like, the first years I spent it almost... barely not knowing any Venezuelans, you know, like it didn't came across anyone. And during the last 2 years, when I started writing the lyrics for Será, I came across these two girls from Venezuela that it was pretty strange. I started hanging out a lot with them, and you know, it became like kind of a sense of home for me. Now I know that I was looking for it but I didn't know it. You know, I was looking for that familiar accent. You know, mm-hmm. And we were, you know, we were having dinner one time at the girl's flat, and she told me about this poem by Andrés Eloy Blanco, which is a Venezuelan poet, a poem called "Little Black Angels." You know, and the poem basically, it's like a reflection about why religious figures in Latin America are white, you know?
Yeah.
It's obviously, it's more complex than that, but he, in some way, he reflects about what is being, you know, from where you are.
Right.
And if that comes across for, you know, the things that, you know, are from your land, in this case, religious imagery, which, as we know, is very important in Latin America.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about it. I read it, and I basically, well, I cried. And I went home. I felt very guilty.
Why?
You know, well, because I felt that I'm middle class, you know?
Yeah.
And I live in a country, well, I grew up in a country where 80% of the people live in extreme poverty.
Right.
So I'm the minority. And I was very preoccupied of not speaking for, you know, for the other, you know, having just one side of the story. And at the same time, I'm not Joe Strummer, you know. Even though Joe Strummer, you know, he was a diplomat's son.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. His father was a diplomat. Actually, he was born in Turkey because of that. And he lived in Mexico many years because of that. And I didn't know this back then. And I always felt like, you know, I can't write like Strummer. I haven't, you know, went through the things that he has went through. And I think like the most honest thing for me was to, you know, sing about the frustration about not being able to paint black angels, not being able to, you know, to write like Andrés Eloy Blanco, because I felt there was so much I didn't know, even about my own country, about my own people. And I what right do I really have to speak for them? If have I lived like that? Have I starved for 3 days, you know, in a row? And for me, like, it was very important, you know, to get that out of my chest. You know, sometimes they call that middle class guilt, but I think guilt is a very important process in my writing, because I know that this may sound presumptuous. How you
yeah,
say it?
Presumptuous.
Yeah. But I really think like we, at least the four of us, we can actually, if not make some change, at least, you know, bring some happiness into the people that, you know, that are in our country that are having a rough time, yeah. Or people anywhere that are having a rough time. And sometimes you just gotta put your hands on the fire and put the cards on the table. Like, you know, being honest is good. Yeah. And I don't know how to express it, but I feel like sometimes audiences know that, you know. Yeah. For me, it's very important, the connection between, you know, what we do and what people are hearing.
Well, especially, I think, you know, it's so interesting what you're saying about what right do I have to speak for people when, you know, for countries like Venezuela or a lot of Latin America, sometimes it feels like everyone wants to speak for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has an opinion. Everyone's like, I know what you need.
Everyone has
I know what you need. Yeah. I know what you want.
I wanted to put myself a lot in the fire, because in Nuestra, it was too much about, you know, us, you know.
Yeah.
And us, we feel this. And I felt at one time, I felt very guilty about it afterwards. And I was not, you know, I was not being clear. I was kind of denying to speak about myself and about my condition, about my upbringing, and about who I am. And in a way, I said, like, well, if I'm going to do it, you know, with this whole thing, like, my surroundings are myself, and myself is my surroundings.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm going to put it all, like, I'm going to put it all, and I will take this as therapy. I'm so sorry.
No, it's my fault for asking. I should ask something more like farandula. Okay, like, why are you guys wearing black? That's easy, right?
No.
Yeah, it's actually complex. We actually decided to wear black because
we wear the petroleum.
Yes, we come from our country.
The oil, yeah.
And
for listeners who don't know, they used to go on stage like wearing white and like splattered, like a Jackson Pollock, you know, just splattered with paint. And
no, this is like, that is called a liki liki.
Traditional
garment in Venezuela. Yeah. Like, it's a reinterpretation actually by an artist.
By Robert Iparra.
Yeah, called Robert Iparra.
And yeah.
we wanted to be very outspoken and we wanted to be very upfront about trying to connect with where we came from.
Yeah.
So from the first time, actually, the imagery from Serac came first on the songs. With Cesar, which is that guy with the Joy Division shirt around there, gave them that uncomfortable look. we saw like a lot of documentaries about the Criolla company in Venezuela. We wanted to use something that outspokenly outside of Venezuela, you know, people knew it was from our land. And the black is it should be our national country. We have
a national color.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. First of all, we're an old country, and second of all, the rate of violent deaths in Venezuela nowadays it's absurd.
Yeah.
So we thought it was honest to go out in black. More than because again, Nuestra was all about colors and it was about a celebration, and it was about us being triumphant. And suddenly things start, you know, start not going so well.
It's sincere.
Yes,
it's more sincere in that sense.
We wanted, you know, I think mourning is a very important part of people, and we wanted Será to be a celebration of mourning because mourning is you have to go through mourning before you can, you know, reach another phase. And this is us going through mourning.
I want to remind our listeners that we are in the studios of KUTX here in Austin, Texas, on the wonderful campus of the University of Texas in Austin. So I'm going to ask the audience, you guys want to hear one more song?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. We would like to play a very self-indulgent thing. This is an 8-minute disco Antonada track, and it's called Cementerio del Este and Cementerio del Sur.
Creciendo el cementerio del este, cubra los vaos con capilla y césped, que siga creciendo el cementerio del este. Oh,
once again the music of La Vida Bohème. We want to thank Michael Crockett and the very helpful staff here at KUTX, Peter Babb, Hawk Mendenhall, Matt Riley, Cliff Hargrove, and Casey Sheik. Also, to Jessica Goldstein and Surreal Muhammad for NPR Music, and thanks to the folks at the Bachanga Latin Music Festival.
As usual, I want to remind you to check us out on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, we're NPR's Alt Latino.
And don't forget our 24/7 stream, Alt Latino Radio, which you can hear at npr.org/music. From the campus of the University of Texas at Austin, I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. This has been Alt Latino.
La gota será un santuario de flores que nos acerquen. Unamos el cementerio del sur y el cementerio del este. Unamos el cementerio del sur y el cementerio del este. Unamos el cementerio del sur y el cementerio.
Thank you.
La Vida Bohème, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you all.